Good to be back with you today. We've been in back-to-back gospel meetings, and we love that work, but we love also being home, and we're very grateful for the privilege and the honor of being with you and to welcome those of you that are new to us, and we hope that that will be a permanent addition to our family, but we're grateful. Outstanding youth group over here continues to grow, and Roy has mentioned, and Jeremy has mentioned in his prayer about school starting tomorrow. It reminds us also that only 3 weeks from today, we'll be welcoming our new group of freshmen that are coming in for the new school year, along with returning students, and we look forward to that occasion as well. If you are keeping up with our daily Bible readings, you're familiar with the card that we have for the third quarter of the year. And isn't that amazing that we're in the third quarter of the year? But the verse that is on every card of the quarter is the first verse that Matt read in our reading today, verse 9 of Hebrews 6, "Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation." Our theme for the entire year as a family is better. We want to do better. We want to be better. We want to be involved in better things as we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier in this passage, the Hebrews writer has referred to those who have fallen away, those who have become unfaithful to the Lord, unfaithful to the church, crucifying the Lord afresh, he says. Then the transition is made, "But I am persuaded of better things of you." And so here's an encouragement. And even though he does not mention in this statement the things that accompany or the things that belong to salvation, over the course of the 13 chapters in Hebrews, there are a number of great ideas that he gives. You could make your own list. Being in a saved relationship with the Lord, what are some of the blessings? What are some of the obligations or responsibilities, duties that we have in conjunction with that? And so the Hebrews writer talks about growing in maturity in the faith. He talks about partaking not just of the milk of the Word, but the solid food of the Word. He talks about faith and faithfulness. He talks about trust and hope and love and prayer and forgiveness, study as well as teaching, comfort as well as confidence, fellowship, and then the theme also of service. Those are just some of the things that he says belong to a person who has been saved by the grace of God, by the cross of Christ, and also by one's obedience to the gospel. I'm particularly impressed with the statement that comes from verse 10 of our text, that God is not unjust to forget. And so the theme, what is it that God cannot forget? I want to suggest, first of all, from the implication of the text, that God cannot forget his own. God cannot forget those who have been born into the family of God, who wear the name of Jesus, who are members of the church, and who are striving to the best of their ability, as you are, to be faithful to the Lord every day. 24/7, 365, this year 366. That is the call of the book of Hebrews in so many ways. It is also the call, obviously, to saints of every generation. In remembering his people from the past to encourage us, think about how the Lord could not forget Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when he introduced himself to Moses in Exodus 3 and verse 6. He says, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Those three had been dead for about 500 years, and yet spiritually very much alive. They were alive also in the memory of God. In his unfair, unjust imprisonment, God never forgot Joseph. A reminder that he never forgets those who truly are his own. Throughout the reign of Solomon and future kings of Israel, both faithful as well as unfaithful kings, he could not forget his servant David and continued to provide for Israel because of his love for David. He certainly could not forget his only son, even when the Lord cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? A quotation from Psalm 22:1, which really shows us exactly the agony that the Lord was going through. But in the resurrection story 3 days later, there is proof that not only that day, but all of the days, he certainly did not forget his son, and he does not forget us. And so one of the motivations to faithfulness in the book of Hebrews, as well as in our study today, is God will not forget his own. Back in Malachi 3, verse 16, the last chapter, or the last book, rather, of the Old Testament, there is reference to God's book of remembrance. For those who repent and for those who esteem the name of the Lord. In fact, in verse 17, he says, I will call them mine. What does it do for your life? To go through life every day knowing that you are remembered faithfully by the God to whom we pray, in whose presence we live, who someday we will meet face to face, and with whom we long to live eternally. First promise of this passage is God cannot forget his own. And so when you're at your highest heights, and when you're at lowest lows, and everywhere in between, we today are worshiping a God who cannot and will not forget his own. He particularly, though, refers to this particular group of saints as being people who had been faithful in ministry. There are a couple of ways of looking at this particular expression. It is possible for someone to be helpful and to be ministering to the needs of other people without having any relationship with God at all. I mean, there is a lot of philanthropy in the world. There is a lot of benevolence in the world. And there are those who at one time were faithful to the Lord, who turned away from the Lord, but who continue to do good things to good people or to people who are in need. But what he's referring to here, this group to whom he is writing, Jewish people who carried over into their Christian lives principles and characteristics of their life before they became a Christian. And that is, the Jewish people were very devout in taking care of and being concerned about the needs of their own people. And so if there were needs for food, for supplies, for clothing, for funds, for health, whatever it might be, they were very concerned about that. And he says, you have been faithful in that. And so the Lord is not going to forget your work. The Lord is not going to forget your labor of love that you have shown toward the saints. Not only what you have done, but what you are continuing to do. And so, as we think about these blessings that accompany salvation, these things that go along with being a saved person in the eyes of God, one of the ones obviously most important to God himself, our service to him through our service to each other. You are familiar with the passage in Galatians 6:10 that we are to do good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. Well, that has been done through the church in the history of the church, but we are to be faithful as we carry out the ministry. The basis for that, of course, is our love for him. When you love someone, there is no task that is too great. There is no task that is too humble. When you love them, when you care for them, you want to be sure that their needs are met and that in the midst of difficulty, that every resource that can be called upon will be available to them. The basis of service has to be love. If someone has to be pulled into duty rather than decides to be in duty because of their love for the one they serve, then it's not going to be a full-hearted, devoted, dedicated, even perhaps long-lasting love. But someone who is serving on the basis of their love for the Lord. John says we love him because he first loved us. And as a result of his love for us first, we love him in return, and therefore we love each other. In the life of the church, we have multiple opportunities over and over again to show that love for each other. We've been singing this morning psalms and songs of praise to Almighty God, but also to encourage each other. And so we are dedicated in our service to God by serving each other and serving others as well. God cannot forget your service. Elizabeth Barrett Browning made the observation in one of her writings, all service ranks the same with God. It's a human observation, but a biblical principle, that it's not just the great things, but it's also the small things, the things that no one else will know, the anonymous things, if you please, cups of cold water that are constantly given in behalf of the Lord to help others. God notices, and He does not forget. Thirdly, God does not forget His promise. Okay, Anthony, you may have to help me on that one. The writer urges us to be diligent in the service that we give. And then in the next verse, verse 12 says, do not be sluggish. Is it possible to begin the Christian life with as much energy and enthusiasm and excitement as you can possibly have, and yet perhaps because obviously the lack of growth and the lack of development, maybe because of the lack of involvement, that we can wane in our enthusiasm? We all remember when we were baptized into Christ and how excited we were to be forgiven of our sins, but we grow accustomed to the idea, don't we? We take it for granted. And so the Lord wants us to be diligent and not lazy, not sluggish in the work of the church. Is it possible to be a lazy Christian? Absolutely. Is that a sign of someone eventually falling away from the Lord? Absolutely. He's dealing with that in this chapter as well as in other chapters of the book. And so one way for us to be sure that we remain faithful to the end, he says, that like those who've gone before us who have inherited the promises that God has made, we too will be assured of receiving the full benefit of those promises. They're promises that we enjoy right now, obviously. But they're also promises that God has given us in view of eternity. Notice we're to be imitators of those to whom we look up to, admire, remember who have taught us, who have trained us, who have taken us various places to be able to serve in places other than where we were being raised at the time. All kinds of opportunities that have been given to us by those who've gone before us. And so we're thinking today of those who are responsible for our Bible classes. We're thankful today for those who have preached unto us the Word of God faithfully and consistently, talking about in our years up until this time. We're thankful for those who have taken us on mission trips and be responsible for that. We're thankful for those who've led us in benevolence opportunities. All of these things, we're grateful, and he says, continue to be an imitator, not an imitation, of those who have taught us. His promise, he goes on to say, is the basis of our hope. And again, the hope to which he refers over and over again is the hope of eternal life. It is something that by definition means we desire, but we also have a reason to expect it. And the reason that we expect it is because faithful is the one who has promised, the one who is a believer, and obedient believer, a faithful servant in the kingdom of God. Later on in verse 19 of this great chapter, the Hebrews writer says that it is this hope, sure and steadfast, that is the anchor of our soul. We understand the meaning of the expression. Life is filled with danger, it's filled with darkness of every kind, and we need an anchor to cast in the midst of difficulties to keep us steadfast and to keep us sure. And our hope of heaven is just that. God cannot forget the promise that He makes to His own, to those who are faithful in obedience and in service. Here are some suggestions as we close today. Follow those that you know are in a saved relationship with the Lord, and in fact, be one of those who, because of your obedience to the Lord, repenting of your sins and confessing your faith in Jesus and being buried with Him in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of sins, that you are included in that number we know as the saved. Follow the saved. Imitate their faith. Those with whom we have the great confidence of knowing they are for real. They are 100%. They are loyal, faithful, and true. They are the ones who would be described as even pillars in the church, though they may not have a leadership role publicly. They make up the fabric and fiber of the congregation. And then, as the Hebrew writer would say, don't give up. There are going to be obstacles in the way. There are going to be challenges along the way. But don't give up the faith that has come to us at such great cost, the cost of the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. While we think about things that God cannot forget, the good news of the gospel message is that there is something that He can forget and that He promises to forget. And as we sing our song of encouragement, I'd have you to think about another verse in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. It is a quotation from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31. We're talking about those who turn back to the Lord, even if they have fallen away from the Lord, their sins, He will not forget. Their iniquities, He will not remember, rather, and their sins, He will be merciful to as they are true and faithful to repent. Now, for us today, no one else may know exactly where you are in relation to the Lord. You may not be feeling the power of the Lord remembering you as one of His own. You may not be aware of the service that perhaps one time you gave, but you have grown to be ungiving of that service. You may have forgotten the promises that God has made, the promises that are made to those who are faithful. And so we are encouraged to remember and to imitate the faith of those who have been faithful before us. But if we're guilty of sin today, and we need to bring that sin to the attention of the Father, even in a gathering like this, He's going to be merciful to us if we genuinely are penitent. In our iniquities, He's going to remember against us no more. That is the promise of the gospel message. That is what we enjoy in terms of our blessing today, of one of the things, the major thing, that accompanies salvation. The question is, do you have it? Are you enjoying it? Are you living it? Are you being one of those who others can follow in your steps? If you need to respond this morning, we plead with you to come as we stand and as we sing.